rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Nobody's going to steal my joy. God bless you. You may be seated.
We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus.
Here for giving us this opportunity to share the word of God today. And it is a privilege to share the word of God. Amen. What I love about this church is many things, but the one I love where the workers get together in the morning and they call themselves life changers. You know, as you sit here today, you have the ability within you to change somebody's life. I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful, wonderful reward to have. To think that today, as I stand here and you sit there, today people's destinies will be changed. Whether you're seated here in the auditorium or you're at home watching on the TV, on the computer, whatever, the destiny, your course for eternity can be changed today. And I'm not talking just about being saved. I'm not just talking about getting to heaven, which is important, but it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Today is your opportunity to make a course change. Amen? The title of my message today is quite simply, How's Your Year Been? Amen? I'm sure if I invited each one of you up here to share for a few minutes about what you've been through this year, that you would have a lot to say. Amen? Life has happened in 2020, like certainly not in my lifetime. Anybody here today gone through some things this year that you rather wouldn't have? Anyone beside me? Well, just keep your hands raised just a second. I just want to ask you just to look around. You're not alone. Amen. I have a picture here that I want to show you. And in this picture, there's one person. And that one person is seated all on their own. Anyone felt like that this year? Anyone feel like that right now? I know if your husband or your wife is sitting next to you, it's kind of hard to put your hand up. But like Pastor said, you know, it amazes me, Christians, we're expert mask wearers. You know, we got used to, if you go to my truck out there, you'll see, in fact, no, my mask is in my briefcase. We got used to carrying masks around with us. But it never ceases to amaze me that sometimes Christians, they carry their mask to church in the door of their car, their truck. And then they put it on as they walk into church. And it's their Christian family, a smiley face mask. Because when they walk through, even if they're with their husband or their wife or their children, they don't want anybody to see what it's really like behind this mask. Amen? And we have to acknowledge that. I mean, personally, in our own lives, Pastor Nell and I have lost family. We've lost friends to this pandemic. We've known people who've lost their jobs, lost their source of income this year. We've known people whose future has been and still is extremely uncertain. And I know that I have been in contact with people who can be forgiven for crying out and saying, God, where are you in all of this? I feel so alone. But you know, you're not alone. Statistically, we are told that there are 7.8 billion people in this world today. 7.8 billion. You're not alone. Don't know whether you've ever been to this city that's going to come up in a moment. Have you ever been? You don't have to go to New York to be in a crowd like that. Well, it's not really crowded at the moment, is it? But have you ever been with people like that, where you're like the sardines? And yet we feel alone. Everything that you've been going through, when you ask that question, do you know it doesn't surprise God? God was not surprised by the events of this year. You don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. God's already there. Amen? In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, in the New Living Translation, we read that there is nothing new under the sun. It goes on to say that history merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. And I know that's difficult for us to receive today in our human intellect. But I can assure you, God was not surprised by what has happened this year. Many children of God throughout history have faced huge challenges. And I want us to ask the question today, of each other. If they were had to deal with it, what about you and I? Well, I'm here to tell you today, I believe with all my heart, that God wants you and I to handle it exactly the way they handled it. How was that? By faith. Pastor said, alluded to it this morning. It's by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read here a scripture which is often known as the hall of fame for faith. Amen? Faith is. Today, and I believe with all of my heart, we need to wake up to the faith that is available to us. Faith as small as a mustard seed is enough to move a mountain. I believe with all my heart, the greatest amount of faith you will ever need or have ever used in your life is the faith to get saved. It starts in verse 4 when it talks about by faith Abel. It went on to say by faith Enoch, by faith Noah. Oh, by the way, do you think the flood was as traumatic to Noah as COVID has been to us? What thinkest thou? You want to talk about being alone? There was Noah, Mrs. Noah, the three boys and their wives, and that was it. A bunch of animals. I should be careful about that. But it was by faith. By faith, Abraham, We see in verse 13, all these people, it says in verse 13, all these people mentioned died or passed on to the next world believing in God. Just take a side issue here for a second, by the way. Those people that I know have passed on this year through this disease. Unequivocally, I want you all to know that they all went too early. Unequivocally. However, I also want you to know that they're in a better place right now. That's why I say, don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. For as you sit here today, this has been a pretty rough year, but I want you to know this is as close to hell as you're going to get. But if you're not saved, this is as close to heaven as you're going to get. Now, you've got to say amen or ouch. Because right now, I'm preaching better than you're amening. Goes on in Hebrews 11, verse 39, it says the following. It says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for who? For us. So that they would not reach perfection without us. Do you realize as you sit here today, you could be the piece of the jigsaw puzzle that will allow those heroes of faith to be perfected? Who, me, Pastor? Yes, you, Christian. That's what it says there. It says that they all passed away, but God had something better in store for us. Now, I realize that us charismaniacs, sometimes we can get a little bit, you know, out there with our positivity. It's been really hard to be positive this year. Amen? But guess what? I'm going to stay positive because I don't like negative. And I will, I'm sorry, if it disappoints you, forgive me. But I am expecting tomorrow to be better than yesterday. Amen. Now, how many of you want tomorrow to be better than yesterday? Well, what are you doing about it? Do you know the definition? Some of you know me, will know. You've heard me say this before. You know what the definition of stupid is? The definition of stupid is believing that tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday, but today you're just doing the same old thing that you did every day before. At Bible College, we have a cliche that we like to use, and we say, if you want to change, be the change. Life, the Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's not in the power of COVID-19. It's not in the power of the devil. And some of you are going to be surprised when I tell you it's not even in the power of God. Whoa. Where's that trap door, Pastor? Well, I guess I'm still standing. Nobody's tackled me yet, so I must be still preaching good. No, it says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So your life and your death is in the power of your tongue. My life and my death is in the power of my tongue. God has got something better in mind for you. Pastor Arnell reminded me just the other day that chapter, that book of Hebrews is still being written. Today's entry, how many of you keep a journal? A diary? Well, today's entry said it was by faith that Pastor Peter survived COVID.
Amen. It's by faith that Pastor Dwayne's needs were met in 2021 and forever, future. Amen. It's by faith that Apostle Theo's got a brand new heart. Amen. We need to understand this. And we must remember. You know, it's very easy to say, but they were great men of God, and I'm not important enough, surely, to be remembered like that. I'm not Enoch, or I'm not Abraham, or I'm not Moses. Well, as you sit here today, I want to encourage you. In the book of Job, chapter 8, verse 7, we see a very interesting scripture. It says, though your beginning was small, let your latter end would increase abundantly. Wherever you are today, wherever you find yourself today, tomorrow can be better. Now, you may have lost people this year. You may have lost your job this year. You may be at a low point this year of your life, let alone just 2020. But I want to encourage you. You see, as I stand here today, I can do nothing about yesterday. But I can do a whole lot about tomorrow. And I can help with you with your tomorrow. Because you, as you sit here today, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And the rest of your life can be the best of your life. It's up to you. Say, it's up to me. God is waiting for you to declare with your mouth what you believe, what you are hoping for. And I know it's tough sometimes. I remember the guy who approached the Lord and said, Jesus, he said, I believe, but forgive my unbelief. We all realize it's tough. But we have to acknowledge the significance of our life here. I really believe with all my heart that we are on the verge of a total breakthrough in the kingdom of God. I believe it. You know, life tells us that it's the darkest hour before dawn. Have you ever heard that statement? It's always, isn't it amazing? Even in Texas, the coldest hour seems to be just before that sun comes up. Don't despise your small beginnings. Don't despise where you find yourself today. Let's think about those heroes of faith. And I want us today just bring this right down to me and you. Is that okay? Be real. And I want to look at the book of Acts to look at some real people. Pick it up in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1. We get into that, we start seeing that the apostles have a challenge. The church is arguing with itself about how things should be done. Now, I know that never happens at New Life Fellowship. But trust me, it happens a lot out there. So they were discussing this backwards and forwards. And one of the challenges was that the apostles were doing all the work. Now, I don't have to remind you, but the gifts that Jesus spoke about when he spoke about the gifts of the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, they're not supposed to do the work. The fivefold ministry are supposed to teach the members to do the work. Do you understand that? The shepherd doesn't begat the sheep. The sheep begat the sheep. Now, these guys, they were having a challenge. So they got together and they said, we need to select some people, some helpers to serve, to be a server, to be a food distributor. Pastor Tony, Elder Tony, is very excited about what's happening tomorrow. He wants some food distributors. Any willing hands? So these guys, it says, you notice that they weren't advertising for apostles or pastors or evangelists or musicians. They were advertising the need of servers. So I know I'm using poetic license here, but can you imagine they put the advert in Christian News? We're looking for servers. We're looking for food distributors. I wonder what the qualifications were required. Well, let's have a look. In verse 3, we see, it says, so brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Well, they needed to be respected. That's fair, I guess. They needed to be filled with the Spirit. Anybody here filled with the Spirit today? How many of you won't put your hands up no matter what I ask? I think that, you know, I don't know about having gum. I think they should have some deodorant at the front there just to... No. So if you're filled with the Spirit today, you qualify. Amen? How do you think these 7, once chosen, applied themselves to their new job of serving food or distributing food? Well, in Acts chapter 6, it continues to talk about one of the 7, a man by the name of Stephen. Now, some of you may have heard of Stephen. We don't know how long this took, but we have a guess. Each chapter in the book of Acts is the equivalent of approximately 1 year after the death of Christ. So we're talking here about 6 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We don't know how long each chapter, how many weeks it was, but by verse 8, the point that I'm trying to make is by verse 8, Stephen had already not only been faithful in distributing the food, he started to preach. And not only did he start to preach, but it says that he performed amazing miracles and signs and wonders amongst the people. When you have an encounter with God, when you really meet God, you can't help yourself. You don't, for some of you, you need to remember what it was like when you first fell in love. You couldn't wait to tell all your friends about this wonderful person you met. Amen. Listen, husbands, you better say amen or you're going to end up with sore ribs by the time I'm finished. Amen. You know, this thing, you know who's the winner of 2020 at the moment? The devil. Because he loves it when Christians lock the door, close the windows, and stay inside. But even the distributors. Tony, I hope your distributors are ready tomorrow. Because even when you distribute food, if you're in love with Jesus, if God is inside of you, igniting you, you can't help but tell people about how wonderful God is. And guess what? You don't have to worry about it, because when you start telling people about how good God is, guess what? Miracles start to happen. Signs and wonders follow those who believe. Now, it's nice and dark out there, so nobody can see you blushing if it's you. Do signs and wonders follow you? Have they been following you recently? Because if they haven't, it's not God's fault. Amen. He performed miracles, the scripture said. Signs and wonders amongst the people, the scripture said. Is that happening to anybody in this church? How will Stephen be remembered? Will Stephen be remembered as a martyr? Will Stephen be remembered as a preacher? No. Stephen, my friend, is remembered and will be remembered for eternity as somebody who distributed food. Do you understand that? Am I speaking to anybody here today? God is in the business of reconciliation. And he wants us to take his love and take it out there. How many of you worked out by yourself? You invite people to church, but some people just don't come. So we have to take it to them, family. Amen. If you read through the book of Acts in your own time, you'll see, you've heard me talk about my old friend Dorcas again. You know, she was a seamstress. That's how she will be remembered. She made clothes for people. But I don't know whether in Acts chapter 16 years after Christ rose from the dead, I don't know whether they had their own version of COVID. I don't know. But I know Dorcas became sick and died. But you know, Dorcas used her gift so dramatically that the recipients of her gift, the widows in her case, they all cried out to heaven so loud that God said, "All right, okay, already." Now this is Book of Opinions, chapter 3, by the way. But he said, "All right, already, Peter, go and raise her from the dead." Now, I want to ask you. See, it's dark out there. Nobody can see I'm pointing at you. But I want to ask you, are you using your gift to such a capacity that if you were to become ill to the point of death, that the people that are the recipient of your gift would cry out so loud to heaven that he would say, "Pastor Duane, for goodness sake, go and raise that person from the dead." Amen. How are you using your gift? How will you be remembered today? Will anybody remember you? As a pastor, I've been in the ministry for almost 30 years. I've had to conduct many funerals. And you know what's sad? Sometimes I've conducted funerals and there's 5 or 6 people there. In Acts chapter 16, we see a story by the name of Lydia. Lydia was a merchant. She owned her own business. She got radically saved. But you know what happened? She immediately began serving in the church. In Acts chapter 18, Paul talks about meeting Priscilla and Aquila, who were Jews. They got saved. They became radically saved and immediately started working, serving in the ministry. Later in Romans chapter 16, we see that these guys are remembered. You know how and why they're remembered? They're remembered for the church that met in their home. Do we have any group leaders here today? Any people that open your home on a weekly basis? You're going to be remembered forever. Some of you don't look so, you know. What's this guy smoking? How will you be remembered? Well, I know there are people looking around sometimes saying, yeah, but Pastor Peter, we get persecuted so much that, you know, you can't even tell people who you vote for these days, let alone if you're a Christian. Can't do that. Well, remember, Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing under the sun that's new. This persecution isn't new. These riots aren't new. We see in chapter 19, book of Acts. I don't know how often you read it, but I would encourage you to read it. Book of Acts tells us, chapter 19, that there were riots in Ephesus. Sounded to me, when I read it, sounded to me it must be a bit like Portland, because it's saying that every night there's riots. It's burning. And he said, well, why did it happen then? Same reasons it's happening now. Because the Christians started to mobilize. Christians started to stand up and say, listen, I believe in the right for life. I am pro-life and proud of it. And you know what? Evil in the cities, the people behind all of this evil, whether it's pornography, whether it's child trafficking, whether it is drug abuse, Lord have mercy. It seems like, you know, people, places all the time are making drugs legal. It's time for the Christians to rise up like they did in Ephesus. Let's have some fun. Amen. In Ephesus, it says the riots were caused, it says, concerning the way. You think they're politically correct challenges now? That's what they called it. They didn't say, we've got all this problem because of Christians. No, it's just problems concerning the way. Maybe it's because Jesus said, I am the way. See, Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a door. He says, I am the door. And no man cometh to the Father except through me. Praise Jesus, my brother. I believe with all my heart, once you're called by God, everybody shouldn't be able to help themselves but to preach. How many of you are grateful for what God has done in your life? Anybody? When was the last time you told anybody else how grateful you are for what God has done in your life? You see, I'm not talking about scaring the hell out of somebody. The Bible says the love of God draws men to repentance. The love of God. Amen. Philip, another one of the seven. We know about Philip. By verse 26, he was preaching. Remember the story how he went into the desert? Came alongside the eunuch, and the eunuch, head of security for the queen, and he's talking about it, and then the next minute, Philip's baptizing him. They're ready today. They told me this morning, they're ready right now. In there, the water's warm. And the eunuch said, what doth hinder me? Paul said, there's water, let's go. In verse 40, we see something else that happened to Philip. He was transported, translated. He was with the eunuch, then the next minute, boom, he was found somewhere else. Every time I take a long-haul flight, Pastor, I open my Bible and I look at that and say, Lord, I'm available. 17 hours on a plane to South Africa, Lord, I'm available, just to be found in Johannesburg. Do you think that's how Philip will be remembered? That's a pretty, you know, if he was going to be preaching next week, they'd have his itinerary up on the board. Come and hear this man. This is the man who was translated from San Antonio to Houston. like that. If you've ever tried to drive to Houston from San Antonio, you'll know why it would be good if we could be translated. But you know, that's not how Philip will be remembered. In Acts 21, verse 8, we see this. It says, the next day we went to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. Why is that important to you? Because God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and popular. Well not done, good and famous. But faithful. The scriptures are full of them. I'll close with this. I want to ask them to put the list on the... You know what I forgot to do, didn't I? I forgot to do my... Let's do my clip quickly. I know I'm over time. Blessed are the short-winded, for they will be invited back. But I want to show you my Google thing. Can we do that? You see, I started off by saying that you can feel alone in this life. But we need to realize that this world is bigger than you and I. It's not just you in your little home, in your little suburb. Don't worry about it, guys. In your little city, in your little state, in America, in the world. 7.8 billion people. But you know, God says this world, this earth, is his footstool. Big God. Little devil. Big God. Little disease. Amen. I'd like to show, if I can, the list of my people. There's a list going to come on there. These are people that are recorded in Romans 16. I'm not going to try and mention some of their names, but these are people in Romans 16 you will read that Paul talks about. And he's saying hello to them. And he's saying to the church in Rome, these are the people that have helped me. Now, do you recognize on any of those names? The chances are you won't. They weren't famous, but you know what they were? They were deacons. They were ushers. They were life changers. Small group leaders, businessmen, businesswomen in the church who use their gifting, use their faith to get through the challenges of life. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, we read, it says, I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? It says when Jesus comes, what will he be looking for? He'll be looking for the faithful. And if you go, if Jesus tarries and you go on to glory, you will be remembered for what you did for the kingdom. And we know that whatever we do for the kingdom, it needs faith to be done, right? But if you are still around when Jesus comes, he's going to be looking for the faithful. Are you being faithful to God? Are you taking your next step with God? Now, you see, if you're sitting here today or you're watching online and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then you're not going to be remembered at all. You're just going to go count to be with countless millions of people. This is not a game, folks. Do you know, if you ask Google, it'll tell you that approximately 160,000 people die each day in this world that we live in. Now, it's generally accepted at the moment that 20% of the world's population declare that they are Christian. We're not going to dispute how Christian they are today. Let's give them that benefit. But do you realize that as we sit here, if only 20% are Christian, that means that 130,000 people per day plummeting into hell. What are we doing about it? How will we be remembered? And as I said, if you're not saved, you're not even at first base. And I'm going to pray in a moment for those of you who want to accept Jesus. But let's say that you are saved. What is your next step? What are you going to do to be remembered about? Well, you were told in that little container in the seat in front of you, we'll have a form. Your next step, if you've never done growth track, your next step is to get onto growth track. Partner with this church. To be a part of this church. I can assure you, I'm proud to be in a relationship. Christian Family Church is proud to be in a relationship with this church, because we know in this church you are serving your community and you're creating ways to allow people to be remembered. And if you've already finished the growth track, then you'll know this, but if you haven't, one of the cool things about growth track is that it'll help you identify your giftings. It'll be able to focus you on what you can do next to be remembered. And if you're on growth track, you'll know that you'll get invited to be a life changer. I love that name, life changer. You're equipped to be a life changer. So if you've not done growth track, get on there quick. What's the next step once you become a life changer? Well, then it's to become a part of a small group. Meeting in a home near you. I don't know about you, but once a week's not enough for me. I need to get my fix more than once a week. So you can be a life changer right here in the church. You can be a part of. And then what's your next step? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, in Timothy, it tells us, it says that we ought to study to show ourselves approved, that we will not be ashamed when we try to rightly divide the word of God. That means, my dear brother and sister, that if you can't rightly divide the word of God, then there's a possibility you can be ashamed. And you know, for those of you who know me, I am not ashamed to tell you that I believe every Christian should do at least first year Bible college. And we're pleased to be able to tell you that pastors invited me to let everybody know that our registration for 2021 is open. I know some of you will say, yeah, but I don't know. I've got time issues. Well, or age issues. Age issues. Our oldest student this year is 82 years old. Is there anybody over 82? Anybody over 82? So then you haven't got any excuse. Yeah, but I'm still young, you know, I got to get do this. Our youngest student is 18 years old. So if you're between 18 and 28, I expect to see you there. And you haven't done first year, of course. But even if you have done first year, but you for whatever reason, you went on a sabbatical and you took the year off. And my friend in the sound desk. You know, so it's time to come back. And if we, you know, if you were there and you did up the second year and you didn't come back for third year, you're welcome. So registration is open. If there's anything that you need to know, you would like to know more, Pastor and Ellen, I'll be right here and there's a table outside. You can ask us. We've got some volunteers out there. Do we have volunteers today? No. Okay. So that's a good enough reason to come and see us right here. Amen. All righty. I'd like everybody to bow your heads right now. Now, essentially what I'm going to do, we've got some workers here that are going to come forward as I pray. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it will never be easier than it is right now. And in a moment, I'm gonna count to three, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand, put it down again. Why, Pastor, must I do that? Because Jesus is looking, and you've got to give him an invitation to come into your life. But also, come forward, guys. You can come across. Also, as you've listened to this message, if you've realized, Pastor Peter, I'm not where God wants me to be right now. And I need just a little bit of a leg up to the next level, whatever that next level might be. These people here are anointed, filled with the Spirit of God, and equipped to pray for you. Amen. So whatever it is, if you're coming to the Lord for the first time, if you're a backslider and you're coming back to the Lord, if you're just a little bit lost in your way and you want a bit of direction, a bit of help, whatever it is you need, if you want prayer today, these people are here to pray for you. So with that in mind, let me just ask you, is there anyone here today specifically that would like me to pray for them to meet Jesus? Okay, we have a house full of saved people. Isn't that wonderful? But then, if you would like prayer right now, please just come out of your seat. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Don't leave here today with a burden. You can take that smiley face mask down with these guys. You can be real. And if that's you, whether it's physical, mental, social, please feel free to come forward. And I pray for you as we close, for those of you, just please come forward. But for those of you who are still seated, just stretch your hands out towards me. I'd like to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every single person here today. I thank you for the privilege we have of being called by your name. Lord Jesus, I thank you that just as you called those seven to serve, you call us anew today to serve. To serve in the kingdom of God. I thank you as these people leave today. They are reminded by you, Holy Spirit, that you are their protection, deliverance, that Jesus, you are our healer, our provider. And I thank you that you will give us an opportunity in these coming days to share how much we love you with our fellow man. Amen. Will you make a declaration with me today? Will you point towards San Antonio? Where is it? Anybody? Is it that way? That way. Will you hold your hands out towards San Antonio and say, San Antonio, you belong to Jesus. Amen. God bless you.